Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Why do bad things happen to good people? There's a purpose. If you remember last Sunday's message, I gave you two reasons and only preached one of them. One reason is the devil hates you. That's why bad things happen to good people. And if we're not for God's hedge, you remember the message last week? The hedge that God puts about us, the devil hates us, Satan hates us, and God puts a hedge about us, and then Job's heart was revealed. But were it not for the hedge of God around us, we'd all be destroyed. Just like Jesus said to Simon Peter, Satan seeks to sift you out like wheat. I'm not preaching this morning. I'm just reminding you in the introduction, if the devil had his way, your kids would be dead and in hell. If the devil had his way, your house would have burnt down last night and you'd have lost everything you own. If the devil had his way, you'd spend eternity in the fires of the damned along with all others that are hopeless sinners. If the devil had his way, the devil hates you. I remind you, the devil is not your friend. Job, oldest book in the Old Testament, 5,000 years old. James, oldest book in the New Testament. Isn't it interesting that both books, oldest in the old and oldest in the new, both deal with trouble. Trouble. Let's stand together. Everyone standing. James in chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Look at verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, or tests, trials, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. God, we pray for your blessing. I pray you'd fill this preacher with the Holy Spirit. God, that you'd give me all the energy that I need and you'd endue me with power from on high. I pray the word of God would be preached contextually for what it really says. And God, you'd encourage the saint that is downtrodden this morning, needs lifting up. God, you'd convict the saint of God that is running from you and caught up in themselves, thinking they're king of the jungle. Dear God, we ask that you would help us as a people of God to recognize and understand the devil hates us, but you love us. And God, would you mature your people and complete your people? We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. I have much to preach this morning. Let me give you a little bit of background to the book of James before we get to it in a direct way. James is a general epistle written during the diaspora or the dispersion or the scattering of the Jews. So it's Hebrew in nature, especially being the oldest book of the New Testament. But James is full of concrete, ethical, Christian living. The book of James is a no-nonsense workbook on how to survive life as a New Testament Christian. 108 verses, 22 references to the Old Testament, and 15 references to what would be the New Testament. It's an amazing book. Now, here's what I want to say before I get into the meat of the message this morning. In this coronavirus life that we are living right now, and I pray to God it is not the new normal, but during this time, during these weeks, We have seen 12 new families come to Fundamental Baptist Church that are coming back. They keep coming back. Now, only one of them have joined so far, but I fully expect they are all going to join. They love it here. And this all as a result of live streaming and then COVID-19 and fear that's out there and people hungry for the book. We have seen people saved. There were 9 people saved last week, or a week before last. There were 2 people saved last week. God continues. He is in the soul-saving business, and he is still at work. Now, what you and I have got to do, we have got to make sure that we maintain what New Testament Christianity is all about. You say, preacher, the bottom has fallen out. That has happened to me 1,000 times. That has happened to me 10,000 times. Where everything seems to be going right. Remember Job? Everything seems to be going right. And because the devil hates us, the bottom falls out. That lion walking the path, what path of the jungle? Who's king of the jungle? All of a sudden he comes, it's a reality check, and the bottom falls out. We are reminded that the devil hates us and God loves us. Now we see the love of God in the book of Job. And again, I remind you, Job was not party to the conversation that took place between Satan and God the Father, Jehovah God. He didn't know that conversation had even gone on. He just was a man of faith, trusting God, even though literally the bottom fell out. He lost everything. He lost his children. He lost everything. It was all gone. He went from being the richest man of that part of the world to a pauper, covered with sores, sitting in ashes, scraping the sores with a potsherd, with a piece of clay, just to get the ooze and the pus out. I mean, he went from top to bottom. He said, naked I came into this world, and naked I'll return. You know, the fact is, God is God, and he knows what's best for me. Take your Bible to Romans, turn to Romans and chapter 8, and I'll read one verse that I read last week. Maybe you don't remember it. Romans and chapter 8, and get right to the message here in the book of James. Romans and chapter 8 and verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul, writing under inspiration, just puts everything in perspective. If I live 70 years on this earth and live a pauper and everything always goes wrong, but I'm a child of God, the glory that shall be revealed hereafter, far greater. It makes all the suffering worthwhile. Hey, I want to share something with you and make a simple statement, and maybe you've forgotten, maybe you don't know this. But when the devil attacks, he attacks in waves. It's always a multiple front. If he's really going after you, if there's really a battle going on, it isn't going to be a frontal attack and just one thing. That is not how that's not how military operations operate either. They always have people trying to flank on the right, on the left, maybe coming down from above. They do everything they can. They infiltrate ahead of time. That's battle plans. That's strategy. The wiles of the devil. It isn't just, oh, here he comes. I'm going to fight him off. That's not how it works. It'll come from over here, come from over here, come from back here, come from within. It's always the way it works. Let me testify. That's how it works. Don't be babyish and think, well, you don't know how bad I've got it. Listen, it's not over. It's going to come from every direction. Look at Romans in chapter 8 and verse 28. I remind you of this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So it's all going to work out for good. Genesis chapter 50, the devil meant it for evil, but God is going to use it for good. We've seen these people come to the Lord. We've seen these people get saved. We've seen people, new people attending the church. We continue to grow. And when things have got, when things are happening, that's when the devil attacks. You got to know that. Go back to James in chapter 1. I'm trusting this is going to be an encouraging message for you. We need to grow. We need to grow spiritually. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a humble way to describe himself. He didn't say James, pastor of Jerusalem. James, doctor, senior pastor. That's not what he says. He said, he doesn't say James, half brother of Jesus. I'm on the inside. You better listen to me. That's not what he says. He says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered. That's where you get the word dispersed, scattered abroad. Greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, all kinds of tests, all kinds of trouble. Life is filled with trouble and tests and trials. Went to a wedding. It was in Wisconsin, 95 degrees, hot, sweating. I'm wearing a black suit, real stupid of me, where the wedding is in the sunshine, not in the shade. And I didn't do the wedding, but I was right there in the front, sweating bullets, sweat running down my back. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, is this preacher ever going to get done? No, we stop at Walmart. I go to get something to drink. Actually, I did it before the wedding. And you can make yourself like anything. I don't know if you know that or not. I'm finally figured that out. That's why people like McDonald's hamburgers. McDonald's hamburgers don't taste like hamburger. But you've made yourself like them. You were told they were good. You like them. You eat them. Oh, yeah, I got to have a quarter pounder. Yeah, okay, all right. So you make yourself. So I decided a long time ago I was going to stop drinking pop. And I'm going to make myself like sparkling water. And I do. I love sparkling water now. I chug a lug sparkling water. There are the days go by where I don't drink eight of them, and I just chug a lug. You know, and that carbonation makes your belly feel full, and I feel good. You know, that's how you lose weight, by the way. So I'm walking through Walmart, and there's a case, a 15-pack. Never seen those before. That must be something special to Wisconsin. I don't know. A 15-pack of, there's the lime color. So I grab a case of it. I grab 15-pack of it. We go outside. I open it up. I start chug a lugging. Have you ever heard of cucumber-flavored pop? That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, so I've saved it. I'm not going to drink anymore. I spit it. I'm done with that. But I'm going to give it to my grandkids as they don't know any different, right? In fact, last night, Bo drank two of them last night. Yeah. Drink it up, Bo. Help yourself right there. You know, and if you're not careful, you're going to get fed a line. That's what the devil does. He said, God, Pastor James, pastor of Jerusalem, writes to the believers that are scattered everywhere. He's trying to encourage them. He says, first of all, rejoice. The word greeting, I think I preached this not too long ago in verse 1, means rejoice. When the Jews, when they leave, they say shalom, that'd be peace. When they were greeting one another in the first century church, they'd say rejoice. Because you know what? Our sins are forgiven. We've got a home in heaven. We've got a heavenly Father that watches over us. We're not an anchorless ship just tossed about in this world of woe. Man, we know what's going on. So rejoice. The best is yet to come. So he says, greetings, my brethren, count it all joy when the tests come from every direction. Because there's a purpose to it. God loves you. That's why he's allowing these things to happen. Look what it says in verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The testing of your faith worketh patience. The Christian life isn't all sunshine and roses. Sometimes it's heartache and tears. So grow up and get stronger. Grin and bear it. That's my paraphrase for that verse. Grin and bear it. Rejoice. God won't allow you to have more than you can handle, and he's going to help you. This is a time to grow you, and you will. It says in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying, the testing of your faith worketh patience. That word patience means to abide under. God allows a burden to come into your life, and he places it square on your shoulders, and you carry it. And he's not going to bring you any more than you can handle. But by you carrying it, it is strengthening you. By you experiencing that trial, that test, and that trouble, that's making you stronger. How many of you athletes remember the terminology resistance training? You lift weights to get stronger. Lifting weights is not enjoyable. You can get kind of that runner's high and the endorphins and that kind of thing. But I mean, at first, it's not. I remember one young man telling me, and weight training is big in the sport of football, and we had off-season weight training all the time. And I remember he showed up for practice, and he wasn't in the weight room all year long. And I said, man, where you been? I called him by name. He said, well, I've been lifting. Well, what program are you using? And he said, well, I just kind of follow my body. I remember him saying this, what my body tells me to do, that's what I do. And I'm looking at him, and he isn't any stronger than he was the year before, and I'm thinking, you're an idiot. Your body's never going to tell you to suffer. Your body's never going to tell you. Resistance training, it didn't exist in his life. There are a lot of Christians. Now take this to heart. I love you, right? I'm trying to help you this morning. You're an idiot. You think there isn't going to be resistance? And when resistance comes, count it all joy. God thinks you can handle this. God knows you can handle this. And he's going to help you through it. It's going to complete you. The testing of your faith is going to make you stronger. We've got to have Christians with a wartime mentality in the day and age in which we live. Every born again believer senses there's something going on in this world right now. You and I know, because the Spirit of God bears witness with us, something big is happening in this world. I'll tell you where it's going to culminate. Jesus is coming soon. And everything is getting ready. Everything is getting ready. So if he's strengthening you for these final days of the battle, thank God for it. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Look at verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, or completing work, that ye may be perfect, mature, and entire, that's whole, wanting nothing. Allow patience to have her work to make you mature, to make you whole, to make you strong in God. You know, it's really noble and it's real funny, and I've said this myself, I don't want to grow up. And in a sense, and what I'm saying, and maybe what you're saying when you think this, and you, if you've ever said this as well, is I don't want to lose the joy of life. And I don't. But to be 63 years old and not be mature spiritually, that's pathetic. That is, you know, you have to grow up sooner or later. You can't keep watching Scooby-Doo and eating Lucky Charms and having a runny nose and a dirty face and expecting everybody else to take care of you. You can't do that. You can keep eating the Lucky Charms. I still do. But the rest, you can't. You got to let it go, all right? The fact is, we got to grow up. That's what Paul told the Corinthians. They were fighting amongst themselves. And they're making reasons to fight amongst themselves. Read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And Paul says, you're pathetic. Climb down from your high chairs. Quit eating your baby food. And mature. Don't say I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. Man, you mature in the family of God. Every test is an opportunity. Every trial, every hill we have to climb, every valley we have to wade our way through, and every stream, every raging river you have to swim, it makes you stronger. You got to trust God. He knows what he's doing. The wrong thing is to get over here and start pouting and be bitter about it. That's the wrong thing. Hey, I planned on preaching this message last Sunday morning, by the way, just in case you're wondering, all right? That's the wrong thing. The devil's got you. You've entrapped yourself. Instead, fix your eyes on Jesus and grow. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work. Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter in chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. The result of tests and trials, enduring, is your completed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Manifold, all kinds. Heaviness, that's patience. It's wearing them down, under the load. That the trial, the testing of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The testing of our faith is precious to God. He's like a heavenly father that is watching over us and directing our paths, and he's allowing the devil to do what the devil will do, and he's holding back. He's got a hedge about, and he allows just a little bit in order to strengthen us so that we won't be baby Christians, so that we won't be cotton candy Christians, so we won't be people that will run, turn tail, and run when bullets start flying by our ears. So we're mature. So we're complete. You say, preacher, I'm going through some tough times. It's because the devil hates you. And it's also because God loves you. And he's got a hedge about you. But he's allowing some things that you and I might grow. Go back to James again. James in chapter 1 and verse 5. God never leaves us alone. Never. Verse 5 says, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Listen, if you're in trouble right now, if you're carrying a heavy burden right now, if you're staggering under the load, you're right where God wants you to be. That's why you got it. Come back to God. Turn to God. Run to God. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He won't upbraid you. You ask and he'll give you. He gives liberally. It's the only time in the Bible it's good to be a liberal. He gives liberally. That and giving in 1 Corinthians. But it's the only time those words are good. And he says he'll give liberally. He's our Heavenly Father. You see, he loves you. And the reason you're going through a test right now is to strengthen you. It's to give you a bigger platform. It's to make it so that you'll honor him and you'll run to him. And some of us, that we go through trouble, it comes from time to time because we're straying. Because we're starting to do our own thing. We end up on our knees under the weight of the load right where God intends us to be. And we're strengthened as a result. It's good. God never leaves us alone. Let's go to Isaiah real quickly. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. I'm almost through here this morning, so don't stray. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Pay attention. You're going to get some of that cucumber pop if you don't, all right? Only in Wisconsin. That's a farmer thing, isn't it? Okay, all right. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He goes on, makes some great promises to Israel. But that's the same God that we worship. He strengthens us. That same God that we worship, he upholds us with his hand. You're not crossing that raging river alone, because you're a child of God. So you ask God, verse 5, in that time of trouble, that's what he's talking about. That's the kind of prayer he speaks of in James in chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom in the trial and the test, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God never leaves us alone. Skip all the way down to verse 12. I got to make this quick. Verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. He holds up under it. He carries the load. He's developed patience. He's developed strength. He or she, a mature. There's a maturing process that goes on. So that when the bullets are flying by your head in the heat of battle, you can say to the babes in Christ, going to be okay. I've been through that before. You keep your eyes on Jesus. It's good. Don't turn tail and run. It's going to be all right. Follow me. I'll follow him. That's maturity. The immature says, the sky is falling. Run for your lives. Man, I've never seen it this bad before. Oh, it's terrible what has happened. That's immaturity is what that is. That is not leadership. James chapter 1 and verse 12 speaks of a day where we receive rewards for that endurance, enduring the temptation. At the bema seat, when we are tried, we'll receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. God says in the book of James to New Testament Christians, tests, trials, troubles, tribulations are preparing us for greatness, are preparing us for better days, and a louder voice and a bigger platform, preparing us to help a fallen brother or an unsaved soul that needs to come to Christ in the days to come. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Prepares us for greatness on this earth, prepares us for greatness in heaven. On this earth, when things go wrong, it drives us to the Bible. That's a good thing. On this earth, when things go wrong, it drives us to prayer. That's a good thing. Some of us only pray in crisis. On this earth, when things go wrong, it drives us to Jesus, the rock, the tower of strength. That's a good thing. You know what's unfortunate? We only go to those three things when we're in trouble. Well, that's the person who needs to grow a little bit. Because there needs to be that daily walk with God. He said, brethren, rejoice. Count it all joy When everything is going wrong, you count it all joy. I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed hereafter. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. What a God we serve. Quit hiding in the pew. Quit being one that wants to be part of the culture. God, shame on you. If that's where you're headed, shame on you. Then that's not the way it's supposed to be. Instead, be that one that stands tall for Jesus and brings others to Christ. And I'll tell you again, in closing, when you start doing that, trials, tribulations, and testings. It's not all sunshine and roses. Sometimes it's heartaches and tears. And they're good for you. And if they keep you awake at night, I'm glad someone else stays awake other than the preacher. You know, you got some burdens? Wonderful. Go to God. Just go to God. You know, he's always sorted things out for me. He's always taking care of me. There are a lot of things that if I were a micromanager, I would be dead and in my grave. My heart would have exploded a long time ago because I think I got to fix everything. You know what? You got to let God do some things too and grow and grow and grow. And let's bring others into the family of God. Don't quit on that. Quit your hiding. Can I read a great story that I read this week? I know I told you I was closing already. This is just for you and I to remind us we need to go after sinners. Because that's why we're here. Not to baby the saints, but to reach the lost. I read this and I thought, wow. And just take me a moment to read it. Go ahead and close your Bibles, all right? I really am done. I want to read this. 11 days before Christmas on December the 14th, 1862. A cold day in Fredericksburg, Virginia. A 19-year-old sergeant stood at attention before his general. The soldier's name was Richard Kirkland. The day before, the main battle of Fredericksburg had been fought. Hiding behind a long stone wall, Kirkland and over 2,000 Confederates had mowed down the Yankee soldiers as they moved across the field to attack. By nightfall, hundreds of bodies lay dead and wounded in the field. "General," spoke out Kirkland, "I can't stand this. All night and all day I've heard those poor people calling for water. And I can't stand it no longer. I come to ask permission to go and give them water." General Joe Kirkshaw looked at the young man with admiration and earnestly said, "Kirkland, don't you know that you would get a bullet through your head the moment you stepped over the wall?" "Yes, sir," Kirkland answered, "but if you let me, I'm willing to try it." General Kirkshaw pondered a moment and then stated, "The sentiment which actuates you is so noble that I will not refuse your request. Trusting that God may protect you, you may go." And from the second story window on his command post, General Kirkshaw could view the dead and wounded on the battlefield. He watched as Richard Kirkland, carrying several canteens, jumped the wall and headed out into the battlefield. The federal sharpshooters watched this young man, this young Confederate soldier, come to the first soldier. Kirkland carefully lifted the enemy's head and gave him water, and then he adjusted his coat for warmth. Both sides now understood what the brave young Confederate soldier was doing, and they allowed him to roam the battlefield, giving water to all the wounded Northern soldiers. Kirkland made many trips back and forth over the stone wall before he completed his mission. To the soldiers of God's army, if you listen, you can hear the thirsty crying for water. They want the living water that the woman of the well spoke of. Some of us are soul winners because we no longer hear their cries. We're all caught up in being king of the jungle. And we don't hear the cry any longer. Do you remember when you felt guilty? Do you remember when you wanted to tell everybody about Jesus? Everybody. And do you remember when you'd go to bed at night feeling guilty when you didn't? That's where we need to be. And that's where we need to stay.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbc.org. www.thefundamentalsonline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.